Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad to have you listening today. Well, all this week, we've been walking through the content of my book, Your Powerful Prayers, and playing some of the clips from the companion DVD, Your Powerful Prayers. I'm so grateful to Bethany House for supplying us with a good old stack of books so we can give some away each and every day today. So if the content through any of these days resonates with you, please email me so you can get in on the drawing. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Well, our topic today is one I think we all need to hear about and all need reminders of. It's how to pray with perseverance. If you've grown weary in the waiting, if you've loosened your grip on the promises of God, if you need a fresh reminder of why it matters that we persevere, you've come to the right place. Well, today we're talking about how to pray with perseverance. And this is the thing. So often we give up and quit in prayer. We say, well, we tried it or nothing's changed and I'm getting tired and we get distracted. And that's exactly what the enemy wants us to do, is to grow weary in well-doing, because he knows if we persevere and we see an answer to our prayer, well, we're going to get an appetite for the impossible. We're going to start to see that God's promises actually are true. So I'm super excited to unpack this particular section. I want you to know, in the book, there are 12 chapters, and then we've produced a companion DVD for those of you who like to watch a DVD session and read a couple chapters that go hand in hand. So five of you are going to get a copy of Your Powerful Prayers, thanks to my publisher, Bethany House, and then my hubby and I threw in a DVD. So one of you will get a book and a DVD. That's a $45 value. Just so excited about that. Each week we're giving away five books and one DVD. So this is how you do it. If you want in on the drawing, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie with an S at myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address, all right? Name mailing address and put powerful prayers in the email somewhere. Throughout this hour, I'm going to draw from some clips from the DVD and just read some excerpts from the book. My hope and my prayer is by the end of the hour that you're encouraged to stay the course, keep running the race, take care of your soul when you're weary and when you're tired so that you can get back in the race, because it matters that you persevere. We mature through perseverance. We lay hold of the promises through perseverance. So let's listen to a clip now from Your Powerful Prayers about the difference between being tired and weary. Welcome back. Again, I pray you had a great week. I want you to know that Kevin and I are praying for you every single day. I pray that over the weeks you've been finding your steps a little bit sturdier, your prayers a little more powerful as you grasp on a deeper level who you are to God and whose you are. Well, today we're going to talk about an important topic, and it's how to persevere in prayer. Why do we need to persevere in prayer? Well, Scripture talks again and again about what to do so that we can stay the course, so that we don't fall out of the race. Because as you look around, you see people falling out of the race. And somebody once said 1,000 people are waiting on the other side of your obedience. Your race matters not just for you, but for the many who are watching you, for the many who are inspired by you, for the many who are impacted by your story. That's why it's a constant challenge to pull ourselves out of the smaller story so that we can see ourselves in the bigger story. Your life matters for your sake, but for the greater sake of the kingdom as well. On my radio show, I get to talk to some pretty amazing leaders. And recently I had a pastor author named Dr. David Ireland on the show. He talked about the weapon of prayer. And he said something so interesting. He said, when you're in the armed forces, you're promoted upward in rank when you stay the course and when you win in battle. And he said, likewise, for God's people, we're promoted up the ranks in the army of God when we stay the course and we win our battles in prayer. So how do we win our battles in prayer? Well, for one, we learn how to fan the flame, how to not grow weary and not give up. In my book, Your Sacred Yes, I address the issue of running ourselves so ragged that we not only wear ourselves out, we make ourselves vulnerable. And as someone who is very interested in this, because my husband and I many years ago suffered a significant burnout that deeply damaged our marriage. We had to rebuild our lives very purposefully. Because that happened to us, I feel very passionate about helping my brothers and sisters live within their limits and know that God has no limits. How we can guard our path, because when we are weary and exhausted, that's when we're most vulnerable to falling out of the race, to making choices that are beneath us. So why does it matter that I grow weary or not grow weary or take care of myself when I am weary? Because that's when I am vulnerable. Another gentleman I had on my show, his name is Paul Herkman. He's with Venture Expeditions. And every single day on the radio show, I ask my guest of that day, is there a verse that God's been speaking to you about these days that you can share with us? I love this exercise because these guests, day after day, bring the Word of God to life for us and maybe help us see a passage that we've not considered in a long time or from that angle. Well, he chose Galatians 6:9, and it says this, "So do not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up and quit." It's important that we not grow weary in doing good, because if we hang in there, if we refuse to quit, in due time we'll reap a harvest and we'll see a breakthrough. Well, Paul went on to say, you know, being tired and being weary, he said they're two different things. If you're tired, take a nap, get some rest. And I really have to agree, when we're just exhausted, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap and reestablish a good bedtime. If you're physically exhausted, prioritize your rest, because we lose perspective when we're absolutely exhausted. So he said, tired, that's one thing. Get some rest. It's amazing what some rest will do for the perspective. But, he said, weariness, that's something different altogether. When we are weary, he says, we get weary from listening to the contrary voices in our head. So I challenge you, if you're weary in well-doing, if you're just worn out from the race, step back and ask yourself, do I need some rest? You probably do. Most people run harder than they should. But also ask yourself, am I listening to contrary voices? Am I self-condemning? Am I listening to that enemy taunt in my ear? This is a good day and a good time to reset your course, reset your thought pattern. Make sure you're getting the rest you need, because God wants you to last long and finish strong.
Yeah, that's from my DVD, Your Powerful Prayers. And today, walking through our fifth section today, talking about praying with perseverance. And here's an excerpt from the book, Your Powerful Prayers. I'd love to just share this with you. I hope it encourages you. Whatever's on your heart today, know this. The Father cares deeply for you. He delights in every detail of your life. He's moved by your faith. He hears you when you call on Him. And His promises are true. We have unshakable ground to stand on in Christ. And when we believe Him for who He is and do what He says, well, then we can know that His power and His promises will impact our story. The enemy runs scared, and we become powerful, praying saints. So what about those dreams in your heart? Have you persisted in prayer, or has it been more of a hit-and-miss proposition for you? Well, we'll talk more about passionate and persistent prayer in just a moment. Be encouraged, though. Today, I challenge you. Open up your hands and ask the Lord to invade your life, to settle your heart, to inspire your dreams, and to carry your burdens. Ask Him to multiply your offerings, to open closed doors, to move in the hearts and minds of your loved ones, to foil the plans of the enemy, to establish the plans of the righteous, and to make a way where there's been no way. And then thank Him for all that He's already accomplished in your life. Don't forget to listen, too, for what He has to say to you. You know what? He wants to impart some fresh wisdom to you. He's got some fresh inspiration for your soul. He has fresh perspective for maybe you to, for you to consider about your current life circumstances. And He wants to infuse fresh strength for the journey. I want you to think of it this way. We spend time going to the bank to withdraw money for our care. We spend time in the kitchen taking food out of the cupboards for our consumption. We spend time with friends for our company. And all these things are necessities in life. But more than these, we have Jesus. And what we possess in the richness of Christ and in all of the heavenly resources He's made available to us is far superior than any earthly resource we can see, taste, or touch. So may we take God up on His word and His promises to pour out His Spirit. May we take Him up on His word to take His promises as they stand. And may we take time in His presence that we might better understand His power and His authority. There are riches in the heavenlies that, listen, that are ours for the taking, because we've been made heirs of God. In fact, Ephesians 1:3 says this, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," listen, "who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus." Since that's true, Let's stretch out our hands. Let's stand on our tiptoes and pray. Pray big, audacious, impossible prayers. And may we continue then to listen, to learn, and to obey, because anything is possible with God. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk more about how to cultivate an atmosphere of growth so that we can last long and finish strong, so we can persevere in prayer. Would love to get your name in on a drawing for this book, Your Powerful Prayers, and maybe you will win the book and the DVD. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Name, don't forget your mailing address. Put Powerful Prayers somewhere in that email. We'll draw five names. I'm so excited. Five of you get a copy of the book. One will get both the book and the DVD. And we will be back in a moment.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
We press on.
Maybe you are tired of the journey. Maybe you're weary in the waiting. I pray today we can encourage you to persevere, to take some time, pull back, get some rest. Those who wait on the Lord, they renew their strength and they rise up. They mount up on wings as eagles. They run and they're not weary. They walk and they don't faint. That happens from us just drawing near to God. He draws near to us and He tells us things that we need to know. He gives us the rest and refreshment that we need so that we can get back in the race again. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. And my bosses are so wonderful. Every time I have a new book come out, they let me devote 6 weeks to covering the content. Well, we happen to be on week 5, delving into the content of my book, Your Powerful Prayers, Reaching the Heart of God with a Bold and Humble Faith. We've got 5 copies to get into your hands. If you want in on the drawing, email me. I'd love it. And I pray that you win. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Name, mailing address, put Powerful Prayers in the email. And one of you will also get the DVD. We'll be drawing from some of the content from my DVD as well. Super excited about that. What we're talking about today is how to pray with perseverance. Far too many people give up. And you know what? We don't even know how close we are to the breakthrough. But you give up, you don't apprehend all that God has for you. And as we talk about this hour about persevering, there's just things we have to look at a little bit deeper as far as what are the things that choke the life out of us? What are the things that distract us from keeping our eye on the prize? When we open the show with talking about the tired, weary factor. And if you're tired, you just need a nap. If you're weary, you want to take a look at some of the voices in your head, maybe that you're giving too much time to. That advice from Paul Herkman, who I had on my show a while back. Well, now we're going to listen to a clip from my DVD, Your Powerful Prayers, about the parable of the soils and the power of God's word. And you'll see why it matters as you listen in.
Here's a passage from Hebrews 12, verses 12 and 13. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. Maybe you need to take a new grip with your weary hands. Look at that passage again and notice the importance of you nurturing your heart, caring for your soul, guarding your perspective in such a way that not only allows you to stay in the race and not fall out, but that others who are weak and weary will learn from you, be nourished by your life. That's not meant to be this ought to, should do pressure, but it is an invitation to steward your life and your story and your soul and your perspective. These are the things that go south when we decide to get out of the race. Care for your heart and care for your soul. Open your Bibles, if you have them, to Matthew 13. I'm going to talk for a moment about the parable of the soils that Jesus talked about. He described 4 different kinds of soil that we could really do well to learn from. The first soil was hardened footpath. And he talks about when the seed falls on the hardened footpath, that the birds come up and eat it. I would look at this as the unguarded life. When the soil is patted down so hard that when the word of God lands on it, that soil doesn't even understand the treasure of the life that's sitting on top of it. And before you know it, the birds have stolen it away. In other words, the enemy takes the word before it even has a chance to take root in somebody's life. I think that path gets hard in our hearts when we're unfortunate. Forgiving, when we're holding a grudge, when we are running so hard and so fast, we've not cultivated a listening ear and a listening life. I also think that the path is hard when we strive and we forget who God is. When we strive in our own strength, we're not guarding the treasure of God's word in our life. So the hardened footpath to me represents the unguarded life. And then there's the next soil, that it's shallow soil, and Jesus talks about. So the seed goes in and it sprouts up quickly, but there's no depth, so there's no root. So when the storms come, the plant is wiped away. I would say this is like the immature life. Maybe somebody's new in the faith, and God calls us to be kind and gentle with those who are brand new to the faith. But there are some who are not new to the faith at all. They're just still not mature yet, and where there's no depth in their soil. They hear the word of God. They mean well. They want to be part of this kingdom adventure, but they're in and out. Start again, stop again. And the seed gets in. Maybe they go to a conference or hear a great sermon, and the sprout comes up. But the moment the storms hit, the plant is uprooted, and they get offended with God, and they're mad, and they're thinking, I didn't sign up for this. That is the immature life. And the call here would be to grow up in the faith, to learn to persevere in the storm, to not get weary in doing good, because at the right time, your seed that's planted in your soil will reap a harvest. Well, the third soil is a soil where the seed is sown among thorns and thickets. And Jesus compares these thorns and thickets to the worries of this world and the pursuit of wealth. So this is the person who loves God, loves Jesus, loves his word, but loves the wealth and has a lot of worry around managing all of the affairs of life, like it's one of many things in their life. So life does spring up, but the worries and the pursuit of riches chokes the life right out. That's the distracted life. So here we have three kinds of soil: the unguarded life, the immature life, and the distracted life. So what's the answer? Well, if you have an unguarded life, it's time, as Jesus says, to hear his word, treasure it, and understand. So in that place, if you're battling unforgiveness, it's time to forgive. If you're striving in your own strength, Psalm 46:10 says, stop. Stop striving and know that I am God. Whatever you can do to become a person who listens to the word of God, who hears the word of God, who seeks to understand the word of God, when that seed goes in the soil, it'll produce a harvest. Then you've got the immature life. As I said, the remedy here is to persevere and battle. It's to grow up in the faith. It's to have maturity in mind. When the temptation is to get offended with God, or if people in church bug you, which we are at church with imperfect people, that's going to happen. Instead of leaving and checking out for two more months, stick with it. Hang in there and grow up in the faith. That's what we need to do when we're immature in the faith. And the distracted life, who's maybe you're distracted by the pursuit of wealth and the constant worries of guarding the wealth, determined to become a one-thing woman. Make everything else get in line and take a number, but be a woman who loves God, who pursues him, who walks in his way. Remember what Jesus said to Martha when Mary was sitting at his feet? He said, Martha, you're worried about many things, but only one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen it. Be that woman. Only one thing is necessary. Be much with Jesus, and let him walk you through your life. That doesn't mean you're not going to have things that maybe worry you from time to time, but the central focus of your life is Jesus. Well, that fourth soil Jesus talked about was this rich soil. So when the seed gets in that soil, it produces 30, 60, even 100 times what is planted. I want you to think about that for a minute. This is a rich soil. This is a person who pulls the weeds of attitudes, character issues. As Jesus digs in and sets the plow deeper in the soil of their character, they lean in and they say, have your way in me. Yep, you're right about that, God. I do tend to show up late to events because I'm self-protecting, or I tend to exaggerate, or I gossip, or I'm rude to my husband. You're right, Lord. I humble myself. And you become a teachable, trainable person. That's a cultivated life, this rich soil. This is someone who guards their heart, someone who keeps their focus. When the word of God goes into your soil, whether it's by opening on the word and just reading it on your own, or going through a study like this, or sitting under your pastor's teaching, you're a person who sees the treasure of God's word. And you believe it's true that God's word is living and active and powerful. That's what Scripture says. So it's not just old news. It is now news. It is the good news. When you open God's word, it's like you're opening his mouth. This word is living and powerful. That means there's a word in the word for your situation today. And when you love God enough and you love his word enough to say, I'm going to hear what he says, I'm going to listen to what he says, I'm going to apply what he says, I'm going to seek to understand. Maybe you buy a commentary, maybe you cross-reference scripture, but you're going, there's a treasure here, and I'm going to find it. something happens. It goes deep into your soil, and that thing that gets planted, can you imagine it producing 30, 60, maybe even 100 times what was planted, where your life starts to bear fruit, and people are like, where have you been? Where did you learn all of that? How did you get that wisdom and that power in your life? And it's from a cultivated life, a life that guards your yard, guards your heart, keeps your focus, and you don't give up. Jesus said, there are people who are hearing, but they're not listening, they're not seeing, they're not understanding. But if you hear and you listen and you understand, you will live a rich and fruitful and abundant life.
Now here's the thing, if we want God to take seriously the prayers and the words that come from our mouth, we need to take seriously the words that come from His mouth. But He invites us into this powerful exchange where we dare to pray bold and audacious prayers. But when we ask a lot from God, we must know that He asks a lot from us as well. He just does. Mark Batterson wrote this, and I included this in my book, bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. God isn't offended by your biggest dreams or boldest prayers. He's offended by anything less. If your prayers aren't impossible to you, they're insulting to God. Why? Because they don't require divine intervention. But ask God to part the Red Sea, or make the sun stand still, or float an iron axe head, and God is moved to omnipotent action. There's nothing God loves more than keeping promises, answering prayers, performing miracles, and fulfilling dreams. I love this. That's who He is, and that is what He does. I include this story in the book, and maybe you've heard me share it before. But there was a time when I was so desperate in those years, early years, where my hubby was working three jobs. First out of necessity, but even after the crisis settled down, he didn't slow down. So I went to the mat and I cried out to God and said, Lord, your word says that if I pray and I know that I'm praying your will, I can know that I'll have that for which I ask. Well, I know it is not your will that we never see him, that when he does come home, he's absolutely exhausted. So I'm grabbing the horns of this altar and I'm not letting go till you bless me, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus, you would open a door for my hubby. In fact, I start to let him in to say, I'm telling you, I'm praying bold and audacious prayers for your job. I said, where do you want to work? And he said, well, there's only three other companies that do the size jobs that I do. This particular company, they have the same kind of pressure cooker mentality. So I would be going from one fire to the next. This one, different philosophy altogether. So that would not be a sustainable option for me. This third one, I'd love nothing more than to work there. But he says, they give half their profits back to their people, and people only retire out of there. And he said, I can't ever see that happening. And I said, I did say this, watch my dust, I said. And I started to pray, and morning, noon, and night, morning, noon, and night. One day, months later, my dear husband came home and said, you still praying? And I said, why? Did they call? And they did. A couple of guys retired early. The boss took him out to lunch. And would you believe they gave him an offer he couldn't refuse? He's been working there ever since. And I want to tell you, I think it's been 15 years. That prayer is still bearing fruit today because Kevin and I get to minister together. We go on the road together, but also he's in a work scenario where he prospers in the work of his hands because it's an atmosphere where he can grow and do good work for his employer. So that prayer is still bearing fruit. So don't shy away from asking God for some bold and audacious things, but then humble yourself before him and let him have access to your character and your story so that you can steward the answer when it comes. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. I'd love to get a copy of the prayer book in your hands, and don't go away. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Having a great time walking through the content of my book, Your Powerful Prayers. Every time I have a book come out, my bosses are so wonderful to let me dedicate 6 weeks in a row, one day, 1 hour each week, to the content. So we happen to be on week 5 of working our way through Your Powerful Prayers, reaching the heart of God with a bold and humble faith. So if you want to hear past broadcasts on this, go to the Live the Promise show page and just type in Your Powerful Prayers. I'm pretty sure the previous broadcast will come up. Today we're talking about how to pray with perseverance. And it matters because you persevere if you want to see the breakthrough come. But also something has changed in you when you persevere. Something's changed. changed in our character. In fact, Scripture talks about patient endurance is what you need now. Well, I'm drawing from some clips from the DVD as well. I want you to listen in now to this clip from Your Powerful Prayers. I'm looking forward. It's on perseverance. Let's listen in. Here it is.
Hebrews 10:36 says this: patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. Patient endurance is like the art of steady application, is to be deliberate, unswervable in your purpose. It's having a focus where you keep going and you keep going and you continue to do God's will. And then the word receive in that passage is to become a steward of. Can you see why God makes us wait for the thing that we're praying for? Because we become stewards of the answer. He makes us wait because He's making us ready and we're being trained in the process. So this passage could be unpacked this way. I need to remain steadfast, fixed, and focused on the one who will sustain and deliver me. I will not give up, give out, or quit. I will not grumble, gripe, or grovel. I will not lose my focus or my fight. I will run this race to win the prize. And God will finish what He started in me. I will continue to do what God asks of me because I'm fully convinced that God will do what He's promised me. I will run the race steady and sure with patience and endurance. And when God knows that I'm ready, He will entrust me with the answer to my prayers. I refer back to that time when I was a young mom battling Lyme disease because it was exactly in that place where my faith was forged, where I learned how to be a wild praying woman, where I understood that God's promises really are true even when they don't feel true. Allow me to tell another story, if you would. This was a particular time when, again, I had no clue or sense that God was making something out of this storm or making even something out of me. I was devastated. I was sad. I couldn't figure out what I had done to chase God away. And in that place, a very healthy woman approached me and said, "Susie, even if you keep getting sicker and sicker and sicker," every time she said it, it felt like another fist to my gut. She said, "You need to keep praising God because it's clear that you don't have enough faith." Now, I've got to tell you, Job's friends said some things to Job that had elements of truth in them, but they didn't represent God's heart to Job. In fact, it was God who said to Job, "I'm angry with your friends. I want you to pray for them because they've not spoken correctly about me." We have to be so careful when somebody's in the valley to try to explain away their pain. And we also have to be careful about what we think we know about God when we're suffering or someone else is suffering. At the end of the day, we have to get to a point where we understand and embrace the truth that we don't know as much as we think we do, and we need Him more than we thought we did. We're desperate for Him. And if we want to be a reflector of His grace and His glory, we've got to humble ourselves and trust that God is always good. His promises are always true, and He will always make a way for us. Here's the thing. God would never shake His finger at a broken, diseased man or a broken-hearted, diseased young woman. He's a good Father, and He loves us. I did eventually find my song in the night. I did eventually find my faith, but it wasn't because someone was shaking their finger at me, telling me that I really ought to have a little bit more faith. The only way we're going to persevere in battle is if we can find our song in the night, if we can find God's heart for us and trust that He loves us in these places when we can't hear Him and we can't see Him. I remember a time I was talking to a young author, and a fairly new author, I should say, and he made a statement that sort of stepped me back a little bit. And this happened to be a time in my life when a couple of my sons were wandering in the ways of the world and absolutely breaking my heart. He made a very bold statement. He said, "Well, most of the time when young people walk away from the Lord, it's because faith wasn't real for them with their parents at home." And I went, "Wow." And I said, "Can I ask you a question?" And he said, "Sure." And I said, "How old are your kids?" And he said, 2 and 4. And I'm thinking to myself, "And you wrote a book on parenting, did you?" Okay. But I got to tell you, it's easy to shift our weight onto our strengths and to the things that are actually working for us and then make a rule out of them, make a law out of them. But those very ideas will weaken us when they're tested in the fire and in the flame and in the storm. That man's bold comment about parents who aren't teaching their faith at home, if the kids have wandered, it set me back on my heels because I thought, wow, we were passionate followers of Christ. We had our kids gathered on our bed and we would pray together and laugh together. We had an amazing faith family journey and adventure. In fact, since then, I've met plenty of parents, godly parents, who did right but didn't get right. They walked in the ways of the Lord. They taught their kids to love Jesus, and their kids still made their own choice because we each have a free will. I said this in my Your Sacred Yes DVD about parenting, but I want to apply it to prayer here as well. This is what I said about parenting. Parenting is not a formula that guarantees an outcome. It is an offering that promises a harvest, but it'll look different than we think. I want to say it again. Parenting is not a formula that guarantees an outcome. It is an offering that promises a harvest, and it will look different than we think. Well, I would say the same is about prayer, that God will not be put in our puny boxes. And when we try to explain away someone else's suffering or we doubt his love in the midst of our own suffering, we have lost sight of who he is, and it'll hinder us from persevering. Prayer is not a formula that guarantees an outcome. Prayer is an offering that promises a harvest, and that harvest will look different than we think. But God is better than we know, kinder and truer and more potent and more powerful. We've got to remember who he is. In fact, I think when we forget who he is, that's how we forget who we are. The way that we persevere in battle is to step back, get the rest we need, reset our course, remind ourselves who God is and how he shows up in our suffering. And then we stay the course. We keep walking. We keep believing. We keep trusting. In due time, we will reap a harvest for having faith in the valley and in the storm.
That's a clip from my DVD, my companion DVD that goes with my book, Your Powerful Prayers. So glad you tuned in. Walking our way through Session 5, How to Pray with Perseverance. And here's from the book, Your Powerful Prayers. Recently, our friend Pastor Nate Ruch offered this great insight during one of his sermons. He says, hidden in our struggles are previews to a future vision that we don't quite yet see. He says, we need to keep a file during such times. Our burdens often become a bridge to our future. Isn't that good? All right. Well, what's bothering you today? Think about this. Is there something in your life that you've put up with that God wants to deliver you from? Maybe you've lost expectancy after too many dashed expectations. Maybe it's time for you to up your game and seek God earnestly regarding your life, your future, and your promises, and his promises, I should say. And if you seek him, guess what? You will find him. In fact, he rewards those who earnestly seek after him. How might he reward you in this pursuit? I dare you to get a vision for your next place of promise. I challenge you to open your hands and give God access to that angst in your soul. And I pray that you will more quickly discern the difference between surrendering to your circumstances and surrendering to God in your circumstances. Time and time again for us, our burdens have proven to be a bridge to our future. I tend not to fear obstacles like I used to. I'm quicker now to realize that when needs arise, that they're just opportunities to remember afresh that God is a good father who promises to care for his children. I'm learning to cultivate a lifestyle of fierce faith and humble expectancy. The God who sees everything is always on the move, and he searches for sincere faith in the hearts of his people who are on the earth today. That means you, and that means me. I don't know, I just have a whole new appreciation for the necessity of earnestly seeking God and his will for our lives. First we seek his will, then we pray his promises. God invites us to prevail in prayer, to wait patiently for him, and then to fully entrust the outcome to him. Love to get a copy of Your Powerful Prayers into your hands. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie with an S at myfaithradio.com. Name and mailing address. Put Powerful Prayer in that email. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about our right perspective when it comes to persevering in prayer. Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute.
Light beyond all compare, and there will be an end to
Want to let that song play out a little bit. I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. You got to hang on and hang in there. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, walking our way through the content of my book, Your Powerful Prayers. This is week 5. Today we're talking about how to pray with perseverance. Boy, oh boy, does it matter that we persevere. And you know what? We don't want regrets. We don't want to think that we gave up right before the breakthrough came. But there are things that get in the way, you know, of us persevering. We get exhausted. We get discouraged. We get distracted. There's so many things like that, right? Well, we're going to listen to a clip now from my companion DVD, Your Powerful Prayers, just about right thinking and trusting God in the midst of our not yets. I want you to know we've got 5 copies of Your Powerful Prayers, thanks to my dear publisher, Bethany House, to get into your hands. If you want in on the drawing, one of you will also get the DVD that goes with it. That's a $30 DVD, so I'm super excited about that. Email me, Susie with an S, Susie@myfaithradio.com, name and mailing address, and let's listen in to this final clip from Your Powerful Prayers. I want to talk about something for just a moment that I'm sure some of you listening may differ with me on what I'm about to say, and I pray that we can, as sisters in the Lord, maybe kindly agree to disagree if you land somewhere different than I do. This isn't one of those crucial dividing points, I don't think, but I don't subscribe to the prosperity theology, the name it, claim it, health and wealth gospel. I do believe that God wants us to have life and life abundantly. I don't believe he ever gives anybody cancer. I don't believe he makes people sick. But Jesus did say suffering is a part of the journey. And in this world, we will have trials. I've known very, very godly people who've suffered on this earth, but who are heroes in the faith. In fact, even in the Hall of Faith, we read about stories of those who prevailed. And then the next paragraph, we read about those who didn't get what they promised, who were sawed in half and were beheaded because of their faith. Suffering is part of the journey. I think the prosperity gospel sets us up for failure in our faith. Because if we believe I'm blessed because I'm believing the promises just exactly the way I'm supposed to, and then suffering happens, a child walks away from the faith, or cancer visits your family, you will wonder if you missed a step. And if you see someone suffering while you're healthy and wealthy and they don't have what you have, the temptation will be to judge they must have missed a step. It completely weakens our stance and it weakens our community, because those who are suffering need grace and understanding more than they need assessment and judgment and the Job-like friend response, you know what your problem is, or you must have missed a step. I don't subscribe to prosperity theology, but I do believe somewhere in the middle that God loves us and gives good gifts to his kids. But there are seasons of favor and there are seasons where it seems there's no favor and it's a storm. But he's with us in the storm and he's near to the brokenhearted and he's with us in battle. And in those places, our faith is more precious than gold to him. That's where our faith is tested and tried. Well, I also don't subscribe to worm theology, where some so shun the prosperity movement that they come over to the other side. The pendulum swings to this worm mentality where they're constantly beating themselves up, almost like they're in love with their humility. Man, if I just stand in front of an ocean and realize Jesus holds the ocean in his hand, there's no trying to be humble. I'm already humbled. I don't have to push myself down further. This is the God who put the stars in place. And this worm theology, where we cover our head and we constantly call ourselves a wretch, it doesn't really jive with the passage that says we're heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. And there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and those who look to him are radiant and their faces are never covered with shame. So I don't land on either of those extremes. I believe that I'm loved. I believe that I'm called. I believe that I'm equipped to stand in battle. And I believe there will be battles. But life on earth is as hard as it gets for the Christian. It only goes up from here. One of my mentors years ago, her name is Peggy, she battled cancer. And you can't tell me for a minute that woman was missing a step in the faith healing process. She was a fiery, godly woman. And I remember she looked me in the eye with just face like flint and eyes just of steel and a heart of passion. And she said, Susie, she said, Jesus has me here for now, but he will take my life when he gets more glory from my death than he does from my life. She was not missing a faith step. She lived well and she died well. And many people came to Christ as a result of her life and her passing. She wasn't missing a faith step, but
I got to tell you, God is still performing miracles on the earth today. Read some of what our persecuted brothers and sisters are going through and the miracles that they are experiencing because God is so with them in the battle. Some of you have heard this story from me before, but our youngest son, when he was 17 years old, took a late hit in football. He wasn't ready for it. The play was over. The guy smashed into him. His head snapped back. Herniated a disc so bad in his lower back, it blew out. The disc blew out and pressed on three sets of nerves. That young boy could barely walk for 6 months. He wore a body brace. At one point, he was so bad, we tried everything. Traction, an epidural injection, a body brace. He shuffled his feet. He could barely get through his day. He was in so much pain that we were looking at a lifetime of some kind of back disability for him. Well, long story short, we held hands. We trusted God. We asked him to do a miracle here. And one night at youth group, Jordan was prayed for by a student. Kevin and I were sitting on our bed, on our laptops. It was a Wednesday night, and I was so used to carrying Jordan's books, helping him every single moment of every day for 6 months straight. That boy burst into our bedroom, almost kicked the door down, and he kicked his leg up, and he bent over and touched his toes, and I jumped up on the bed going, what? And he said that he was healed. A student prayed for him. His back heated up. He started to move, and he took off running. The very next day, he was back on the field with the football team. That boy was miraculously healed. It's a medical miracle. Well, I'm not healed yet. I'm way, way better than I was, but I have dealt with a chronic health issue my whole adult life. But I've been strengthened in this battle. I know more now than ever before that God is good and he is who he says he is. I say all this to say, I think the way that we persevere is to have a right view of God, that there is a mystery with following him. He gets to say who he heals and who passes on to glory. I mean, we all have to die sometime. I do think we should err on the side of faith, but we open our hands and we let the outcome be up to God. But we understand that every prayer is like seed in the ground, and it's an offering, and it promises a harvest of some kind in this life and the life to come. We would do well to remember that God's promises always call us upward, his power always calls us onward, and his presence reminds us again and again that he himself is the greatest gift. In fact, Scripture says, in his presence, the fullness of joy is found. So when he makes us wait for an answer, he's teaching us something about himself that's even better than the answer. There's something of him that God wants us to experience. So learn to lean in that time in between and say, Lord, this is something I want from your hand, but show me something more about your heart. What about you do you want me to know? What part of you do you want me to experience so that I can be reminded afresh that you are the greatest gift of all? We will not persevere if we limit God and put him in a small box, or we think for a moment that he's bound by our formulas. We will get disappointed. We will be discouraged because he is not limited and will not be dictated by our formula. The only way we're going to persevere is to tether ourselves to the faithfulness and the character of God, to be anchored upward and onward. That's what the Bible says. This anchor anchors us to the inner courts. We're anchored upward. Where normally you think of a ship being anchored, you see the anchor down in the water. In fact, you don't see it in the water. You see the rope tightly bound to the anchor, which rests at the bottom of the sea. But as Christians, we're anchored upward. We're anchored to God himself. That rope holds us all the way to the inner sanctuary. His hold on us is firmer than our hold on him. We are connected. We are tethered. We are bound by a promise. We're sealed for the day of redemption. When you hang on to his faithfulness, you will prevail, you will persevere, you will last long, and you will finish strong. Colossians 1:11-12 says this, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all of the endurance and the patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. The song or the declaration that I want you to write today is your song of perseverance, your declaration of perseverance. Write it down, read it out loud, and tell your soul, I'm not giving up, I'm not going to quit, I'm not going to fall out, I'm going to fan the flame, I'm going to remind my heart that God is who He says He is, I'm going to finish this race. So write out your song of perseverance. It will put a fire in your heart and a passion in your soul. Here's a powerful word from Max Lucado. Remember who you are. You are God's child. You've been bought by the most precious commodity in the history of the universe, the blood of Christ. You are indwelled by the Spirit of the living God. You are being equipped for an eternal assignment that will empower you to live in the very presence of God. You have been set apart for a holy calling. You are His.
Really pray that encouraged you. That came from my Powerful Prayers DVD. Here's a blessing from this particular chapter and a prayer I want to leave you with. May you above all else see yourself as someone Jesus loves. May His affection for you heal you in the deepest ways and inspire you like nothing else ever has. May His saving grace and enabling power compel you to dream with Him, believe in Him, and take crazy faith steps because of Him. May every lesser voice and every lying circumstance fall by the wayside so that all you hear is His voice in your ear saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Nobody's opinion matters as much as God's. Nobody can save, heal, redeem, and refresh like Jesus. So walk intimately with Him today because His will for you is your best case scenario. And here's a prayer from chapter 10. Precious Lord, You are all that I need. I humble myself before You, and I invite You to have Your way in my life, in my story, in my hurts, in my hopes, and in my dreams. I give You full access to my soul and to my character. I ask You to guide and provide, correct and redirect. Show me what to say, what to pray, how to give, and how to live. I know that You are a good Father, and that when You call me up, You're about to call me out. And I want to be ready. I see now that to the extent that I take seriously the call on my own life, will You take seriously the prayers that come from my mouth? So I stand in faith, saved by grace, equipped by Your promises, and empowered by Your Spirit. And I pray boldly, audaciously, and expectantly. Do wonders, Lord, in and through me. Give me eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to do Your will. In Your powerful, matchless name, I pray. Amen. I want to close with this powerful song by Stephen Curtis Chapman, Glorious Unfolding, because if you're weary in the waiting, you need to look up, hear this song, and realize what's ahead for us. It'll keep you persevering, keep you walking in faith.
For this world and your heart has been to show His glory and His grace, forever revealing the depth and the beauty of His unfailing love. And the story has only begun, and this is going to be the glory.
Hold on to every promise God has made to us. It's going to be a glorious unfolding, so persevere today. Do not give up hope. Get together with friends. Encourage each other along the way. A breakthrough is on its way. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. Send this one to a friend who needs an encouragement today. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.